Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is your announcer, Chuck Blandington, and you're about to get blasted in the mouth with an all-new Metal Injection live cast. Darren isn't here this week, so for those of you keeping score at home, the total sleeve count for the room remains at 8. I repeat, it remains at 8. Here's the show.
All right.
I'm glad I didn't wear my sleeveless, otherwise that would be a...
We're all glad, Rob.
Correct.
No, what? That would be the correct number.
Oh, you're right. Oh, shut up, Sean. Welcome, everyone, to the Metal Injection Livecast. We are on the air, and we have a very special 2 hours today.
It's always a special 2 hours, Rob.
Yeah. So, that's why I say it every week.
Okay.
So...
I'm just saying.
A very special
we have a special guest. We have a special thing today. First of all, this is the conclusion of May. No, can I have a little a reverb? This is the conclusion of May.
Wait, hold on.
May. It doesn't work as well when I repeat myself. Mayhem month. Mayhem. It's on Sean. Wrong echo. We got a new producer.
Wait, what the hell? All the mics are messed up.
Yeah, I can't hear myself at all.
Yeah, who set this thing up?
There we go.
Mayhem month. There, that was worth it. Yeah, Trivium, Matt Heavey of Trivium is going to be calling into the show in a little while. Are you guys excited?
We thought that it was Trivia night.
Yeah.
I've been studying all week.
No, Trivium. Trivium, the band.
We literally.
Trivium.
Why did I study?
We read Wikipedia before.
Isn't that Latin for trivia?
You read all of Wikipedia?
Yeah, all of Wikipedia, waiting for Rob to get here.
Wow.
What? So, yeah, Matt Heafy of Trivium will be calling in. That should be exciting. That'll be a little later in the show. And you may notice that there aren't as many Shlomo sound effects being played.
Aww.
That's because Darren isn't here.
Of course.
So who's in place of Darren?
Frederick.
Frank,
I'm not sitting in his place.
You're sitting in a seat.
We're reserving his empty spot.
Well, this is his new spot.
There's a groove in that tin chair, and it belongs to Darren, and you're sitting in it.
Oh, okay.
How does it feel?
It's kind of cozy.
Cool. So, lots of stuff.
Our phone lines are blowing up right now, Rob.
Oh, cool. I wonder if all these people want to talk to us, or they want to talk to Matt Heafy.
Well, let's find out and bum them out.
Because he's not on the air with us yet. But let's take some callers. No, who do we have?
We have someone with an area code of 516.
Long Island.
I can hear you.
Long Island, are you with us?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on? What's your name? Well, I know you're from Long Island. What's your name?
Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Not much.
All right.
Great stuff. Why are you calling in? What? All right, great.
Hello?
Let's go to the next caller.
Yeah,
next caller. This guy loses. Goodbye! Goodbye!
Are
I should have really gotten the sound
gonna
effect from Darren.
Are you going to sing every sound effect now that Darren is not here?
I think so. I think we have to.
Roar!
I think I have that
pretty
one.
Well.
Come on, guys.
I could just do that. I'm here.
Balls.
So, do we have any other callers, or
sure.
Should we
actually? We have area code 513.
513, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello.
Awesome. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Why are you calling in, buddy? Do you have a question or a comment?
I guess that's not for a while, is it?
That is not for a while. We will announce when Matt is coming on the air. So everyone, if you're on hold waiting, you can just waste yourself 1 minute.
Yeah, I mean, we'll
have or you could chat with us. I mean, we're entertaining. But let's kick the show off. Last week on Thursday, we went to Rammstein.
Who's we?
The royal.
Sure, Sid did not.
Yeah, I did
because
not.
Sid didn't go, and Sean
everyone
didn't
but
go.
Sid and Sean in this room went, and Bruno, the dog.
How much did these
go.
Tickets cost you guys?
$70.
Oh, holy fuck.
But totally the thing
I,
is that we did it months ago, so we really don't remember.
Yeah,
how feel
and
it.
I almost got away with not paying Rob back, but then I felt
I
guilty.
I told you. Did totally, you forget?
Yeah, Sid was trying to get me to trick you so that
I
wouldn't have to give
just
you the
don't
$70.
Bring it up. You're Rob would never have remembered you.
You're a terrible person.
And if Rob was like, hey, Noah, don't you owe me $70 for the Rammstein? He'd be like, no, I paid you back in March, remember? And he'd be like, all right. And that would be the end of it.
I would never have the heart to do
that.
Oh,
come on.
Wow, so you never did pay me for those tickets that I paid for last year. You were just lying to me.
Which tickets would you pay for me? That would never happen.
Uh-huh. Mm. So anyway, the show was really good. It was really... like a full performance, like not just a band playing songs.
So it wasn't just the rhythm section, is what you're saying. It was the whole band there.
Yes, it was. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Good.
Thank
Get
you.
Out.
Yeah, it was just the band. No, there was like a really nice light show. There was a lot of fire.
It was
nice,
really nice.
I would say.
Am I underselling it?
I think so.
Well nice is just not a word typically associated with the Rammstein.
It's extreme.
Was it?
No, it looked like a room. In the Matrix, like the
laser Floyd.
Well,
there were
kept,
lasers.
They
for
kept changing
song.
The set, so.
Did you have to wait?
I felt it more like they expanded the set. Like they kept unveiling more of the set. Like at one point, at the end it was just like.
So it was like a Lady Gaga show.
Yeah,
except with more gay people.
Comparable
and
to Lady Gaga.
I haven't been to an arena show. I would say since Tattoo the Earth. Was like
that band Tattoo? You went to see them
no,
in an arena?
No, it was a tour. Tattoo the Earth at Giant
Stadium.
Oh,
I thought you were talking about Tattoo, the band, you know.
No,
that,
they didn't
that
play
lesbian
a stadium.
Group. But
well,
that, a stadium and an arena are two different types
oh,
of
whatever.
Venues.
I don't know what I'm saying.
But no, there was a lot of fire, which was awesome. And we were pretty far back. Like, we were in the nosebleeds.
$70 for nosebleeds?
I don't think so. We weren't in the nosebleed because we were like the third row.
We were
the
in the upper. We were the uppermost section. There was no section.
Rob got a nosebleed, literally.
Well, Rob always gets a nosebleed in high altitudes.
This is completely inaccurate.
Rob's 8 feet tall, though. Doesn't
stop
that mean he's
spreading
always...
rumors. Stop spreading false rumors. You're supposed to spread those when I'm not here, so that I can come back
well,
the following week.
Well, you were
week.
Late, so.
Not for the show, actually, and this is completely irrelevant to the show. So why are you bringing it up, Nella?
Wow.
Let's
wow.
talk about it right now.
Okay.
We just
you
had
were late.
Ammunition
welcome to the
you...
intervention hour.
All I have to say in regards to your lateness, Rob,
mm-hmm.
earlier today we sent out an email chain about what we're going to have for dinner,
mm-hmm.
and everybody puts in their order, and then
mm-hmm.
Noah orders it. And Rob is the one that started the email chain today at about 3, saying
mm-hmm.
where we will order from.
Mm-hmm.
And then Noah replied saying, all right, everybody just get me your order by 6:30, and we'll order it.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, the one who started the email mm-hmm. chain, sent his email with his order at 6:31.
6:31.
Nice.
I thought I should...
like,
nice.
Was that on purpose? Like, did you just... You were ready, like, at 3 o'clock. We're
yep.
like, no.
No, I didn't know. I didn't
says.
Know what... I knew what I wanted to order. I didn't know.
It took 3 hours.
I knew the genre of food... It took me 3 hours to click the link.
The genre of
and then 31 minutes to actually pick what you wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he had to like think about every single item on the menu. And
yeah, I had to assess how it would take. Wow, is this like Attack Rob Hour? What's going on, you guys?
Yeah, Darren's not here.
I'm like,
you asked for
like,
it.
Whoa,
you
guys.
Said, let's talk
you're
about
ruining,
it.
You're ruining my high. Let's chill out.
Are we harshing your mellow?
You're harshing my mellow, bros. Chill out, everyone. I don't like this. What else happened at Rammstein?
Okay, first of all, one of the greatest like parts of Rammstein was pre-gaming in the car with Frank and Rob, because we get to the place late, of course.
Are you calling this alcohol or weed?
Oh, why were we late this time, Noah? Why were we late to the Meadowlands?
Oh, because my car died, because I drove to Rob's house and I forgot to turn off my lights.
Oh.
And we went back to the car and my car wouldn't start, so Frank had to jump start my car. So, yes,
way
we
go,
were
Frank.
Late, but we didn't miss Rammstein.
Who were the openers?
Comedy Christ, who were terrible from what other people were telling
me. I know what they sound like. They're not great. Not my kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we just pre-gamed in the car before they
we
went
just
on.
Smoked, and we hotboxed the car so much that Frank cracked open his sunroof to let like some of the smoke out, and it was like the car was yeah, it was steaming.
Nice.
And we opened the doors to like get out, and just a bunch of smoke.
So it was like a Cheech and Chong movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was exactly
like the Mystery Machine.
We were so baked when we got there. And then it started. Then again, I'm always baked, so I can't really. But more baked than normal, I would say for myself.
Wait,
above averagely baked.
So now, did they have that BS where they used to have the flames fly out of the back of the microphone or like the top of the guitars and stuff, or was it just pyrotechnic?
No,
on stage?
They
I think
did a lot
of Wasp.
No, that was like a buzzsaw coming out of
I like that you say, why is it BS? I don't think it's, I think it's actually very
someone
awesome.
Someone singing out of a mic stand and then have a flamethrower coming out of the front of his
Why is that, how is that cheesy?
It,
that
it
is
added,
awesome.
I've seen Kiss.
Okay, well,
okay,
it wasn't Kiss.
That is cheesy.
Same thing.
It's
they
not
weren't, they weren't wearing cat
suits. First of all,
suits.
They don't wear cat suits. They wear cat,
Kiss?
One person wears cat makeup.
And cat suits.
No. They were like
they're not furries.
Are full body suits.
Yeah,
those spandex full body suits.
Here's the deal. Kiss is fucking terrible.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for Kiss, there would be no bands like Rammstein or anything like that.
If,
so
it, were,
the
if it weren't
Kiss
for Kiss, though, you can't really say that, though, because if it weren't for Kiss, a lot of bands wouldn't be around.
Yeah.
Rammstein or not, though. Not non-Rammstein band.
Yeah.
So,
but like stage
but all those
bands.
Kiss were a band. Kiss were a band that in that era, if you were around, like everybody loved Kiss.
I mean, I'll say
everything.
That I prefer a band when you get to that level who puts on a show, because the worst thing in the world is watching a huge band in a stadium and they do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
I could, it would be so boring.
In metal, like,
if the music's good, then that's all you need.
No,
I completely disagree. You still need to be visually stimulated.
What about Slayer? They don't move around. They stand there and just do their thing.
They
okay.
do have fire on their show now.
They have fire now.
They have blood.
They've
got
Rammstein
level, but
you know. They've gotten
yeah.
fire.
Every arena show I've been to, and there's like pyrotechnics and shit, it annoys me. I'm just like,
you don't
wow.
like being startled.
I just want to. I'm here for the fucking music.
No, it just came.
But
that's the thing with Rammstein. You don't just go for the music. You go for the performance.
Well, clearly, you don't go at all for the music for Rammstein because the music
why?
Is awful.
No, the music
why?
Is great.
They're
all living in America.
Sean, I'm sorry, but you have no say in judging music, the type of crap you listen to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really, Chromeo? You're really going to go there the same?
Yeah, sure.
No.
I like Chromeo. So what?
Terrible.
I have a range of different genres of music that I can appreciate.
Likewise.
I'm not so narrow-minded that I can only like one little...
Really?
Yeah, but your
really?
Whole range
really?
Is on the crappy music list, pretty much.
So, Trivium fans. This is the most music discussion I've ever heard on this show, period.
I thought what was really interesting about Rammstein is that there were all these different types of people. Like, in front of us, there was this family of Asian kids, and their mom was,
what?
Like, standing on the chair dancing
nice.
From the beginning until the end. And at the end, that's when her kids stood up to dance. There was also this kid. He must have been tripping on acid because he came to, like, where you come in for the balcony, and he was dancing. And then the security guard came, and he's like, you can't stand here. So the guy just kind of looked at him with, like, this blank stare, and he's like, okay. And the guard started to walk him out. And then the guy starts to dance again while the guard is holding him.
Oh, I like it.
So that was really fun. And I have to say that, like, as, you know, it's a creative process. Yes, okay, fine. Some bands, it would be ridiculous for them to put on a whole stage show.
Sure.
But there was more of a story happening. It's not just like pointless fireballs just being shot out of the stage.
There's a story behind the fire?
Yeah, like, you know, like they had... There was a lot of attention to detail, like
listen,
the lights and stuff.
They're a German band, right?
Yeah.
They need fire to burn the Jews, obviously. What? How could German bands exist without fire? Obviously.
That's probably the first time anybody has ever made that joke about Rammstein.
At least
good
I haven't made
said.
A Columbine joke yet.
I don't.
What does that have to do?
What does that have to do with anything?
Weren't the kids at Columbine big Rammstein fans? Remember? No.
No.
I thought it was like Manson or some shit.
And
like
Rammstein.
Was...
Rammstein was the first band that was like stigmatized for that.
I have to say, it was one of the best shows that I have ever been to. Best live performance.
Yeah, like I feel like you guys are like shitting on it. Mm-hmm. But if you went, assuming that you didn't have to pay the $70, because I know you would never pay that,
sure.
I feel like you guys would be converted. You guys would really be like, wow, that was a very entertaining show. Like, even if...
Rob, have you ever met me before? I would be converted.
I'm sorry.
Are you serious?
You're right. Sean, I think you would be into it.
Yeah,
I think you would be into it because you appreciate
it. And there were
like
a lot of half-naked chicks. Big boobs.
See, that's all, like, I'm a breast man, so I can get behind that. No, but see, I do have to say, the one thing I can appreciate about Rammstein is the occasional, like, funny music video they do, like that one where they're all in the fat suits and they're right. Like, I think that's outstanding.
They're really
good. I would
never
listen to the song, but watching them, like totally rock out with giant fat suits on was
that's pretty much
hilarious.
What the show is. Like, at one point, like, for that song, Pussy, you know, the one,
right.
You have a pussy.
I have a dictor.
He brings out a giant cannon. And he straddles it, yeah, and then, like,
it starts shooting,
like, semen-looking
feathers.
That's
been part of their thing for a while, like, the phallic.
I don't know, I'm sure they tour the same.
They had
like,
a different kind of show, I think, because there was a years ago where they did, like, rape the keyboard player.
Right, yeah.
And he had, but this is totally different when he's talking about it. So.
Oh, yeah, they didn't rape the keyboard player, they just, like, set him on fire. Cool. Not set him on fire, they, electrocuted him in a tub, and
they put him on
a raft.
On a raft.
They've done that for a while too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they changed up the show.
My favorite bit though is when obviously stage, like, a fan runs on stage and is like, "Woo! I'm on stage!" And the singer had like a fire gun and he shoots the fan, and it's like, "Yes, burn your fans!" Excited.
Wait, that guy was a fan?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not, he wasn't a real fan, but he was pretending to be.
Oh,
it was like an actor, yeah.
The first time I ever saw that was actually Metallica, when they did the...
James Hetfield?
Yeah.
was real, Frank. That actually happened.
No, Metallica did that on one tour.
Wait, Michael Jackson? Wait,
what? Oh, yeah. No, when the Black Album came out, they did this whole thing where, like, the rig totally fell apart, and then, like, the ambulance came, and then they were, like, playing by light bulbs, and it was, like, a whole big thing. I've seen that before, too. Anyway.
Lars is going to come after you for talking about it.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Probably has
copyright
Google alerts.
Infringement, yeah.
We'll just ask him that who he really is and what his band sounds like.
Yeah. And the best part of Rammstein was that I went to the gynecologist before.
Oh.
That was definitely the best part
for
me.
Did he use a flamethrower on that thing?
And Rob didn't like that I texted him what I was doing. Cause he was
you also
when
tweeted
I was in
it
here.
To the world.
It was just a little
surprised.
It was a little out of left field.
What was the tweet?
Did you send him a picture?
Yeah, that would have
like
been
a
great.
POV shot with a speculum up in you.
Here's my labia.
I don't think my doctor would have let me take a picture.
Wait,
she already thought I was weird for smiling at her while she was like feeling my boob.
Is she hot? Did you want to get with your gynecologist? Is this what's going on here?
She's hot in a weird way. She looks like a dyke.
Your gynecologist feels your boobs?
Yeah,
do
that's
they
a part
do
of
that?
The exam.
I didn't know that.
It's like a mammogram thing, right?
Yeah, they like smack
I think you
got
to go to a different specialist for that.
No.
It's not just a boob doctor. Like, it's all part of the same thing.
What the fuck do I know?
Feminist doctor. See, that's why
I
feel the
for.
Need to talk about it, to educate you guys.
I know there's not a boob doctor. Come on, Frank.
Frank, there's no boob doctor.
Boob, Darren does own that DVD.
Yeah. If there was a boobologist, I would be it. And that's what I would have went to school for.
Career change.
Yep.
No, but it was great because I was excited because she gave me a vaginal and a rectal exam.
Oh, did you have to get on all fours? On your
no.
side? Bend over?
It was like
no.
the shocker.
Well, she didn't use two. She used one in the pink and one in the stink.
Oh, she's delicate.
So metal horns.
Did you ask her to do a couple more? Like, come on, I can do it.
Did she swing you around like a case of beer?
No. I mean, I really wanted her to check again, but she said it was fine. Because it was quick. It was like 3 seconds, but it was
wait,
like,
back
oh,
in
wow.
the ass or back in the pee?
Both.
Okay.
Right. You all right, Rob?
I'm okay.
The conversation is too much for you?
A little too much. I'm a little freaked out. Cooties. Gross.
You don't like girl anuses?
Oh,
girls inspecting girl anuses?
In the right context, yes. In a medical context, no.
Why? You could do, like, the medical fetish stuff.
Not have it?
Like, a doctor's office is, like, I feel, to me, the least sexually attractive place. I just want to be in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I never
in and out.
I never.
Right? Am I
no,
right?
Wrong.
No, the burger joint.
What?
So when you watch a porn with a setting that's in a doctor's office, do you?
I will not.
Kind of
I will not download that porn.
Really?
I
it's a foxy
I love
doctor.
Those ones. Yeah. Hello, nurse.
Darren just texted me asking if there's something wrong with the chat room, which I assume means the chat room is at capacity.
Actually, that's I've what I've crazy. Noticed is there are now two chat rooms. Because I'm in a separate chat room.
Holy shit.
After 80, there's like a new chat room. So.
That's absurd.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Why can't we just have an unlimited chat room?
I don't know.
Because then you have to pay $40 a month.
No.
That's not accurate at all. The chat room.
Why can't you just write a code, Rob, that creates a metal injection?
Yeah,
you're right. It's
developer.
Not my fault. Why can't you guys create the code?
We're
why
not
you
web
learn,
developers.
Why don't you learn for the show? Why do I have to do everything? Why do I have to do everything, you guys?
It's your job.
It's your website.
Yeah.
This is our show.
We're
though.
Content providers for your website. You're welcome.
We make jokes that we make you laugh
for free.
Right. This is your world. We're just living in it.
You're right.
Helping you out.
Okay. So why don't you guys shut up then? It's my world.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to work.
Fine.
Do we have any callers?
We have so many callers.
Let's take a caller.
That last
Robust one. Chicken in the chat room says, "Rob, do a better job."
Oh,
thanks, Sid.
Thank you, Robust Chicken.
Robust.
I like Robust Chicken. Yeah.
I'm hungry
okay,
now.
Let's try 717.
Awesome. No, you're great with the phone fix today.
Me?
That's right.
717.
What's up?
Hey. There
we go.
What's your name and where are you from?
I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm Chase.
What's up, Chase?
Hi, Chase.
Nothing much. How's it going?
Good. Did you call in to talk to Matt Heafy?
No, I actually called to get information on your new album.
Oh, on our new album? Well, it's going to be in stores.
It's brutal.
There's going to be a lot of confrontations.
Rob
on
is going to be singing Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Can I just say there's somebody in the chat that said female radio lady sounds hot? No, I don't know.
Thank
if
you.
Know
that's
her,
me.
Rob.
That's me.
Just wanted to get that out there.
You should have a name tag that says that.
Female radio lady.
Yes.
When you go to your job, you know?
Seriously. Actually, it is. It's on my work ID.
Rob is
female
the
male radio lady.
Rob is the male radio lady. That's the distinction.
I'm the MRL.
And yes, she is actually hot for the person asking.
Yeah, she's.
Oh, well, thank you.
She has
Sid.
A bit of a fever.
That's debatable.
Womp, womp.
What?
Oh, now you guys go at it. Walk around the rumble.
I didn't hear. What did you say?
He said it was debatable that you were hot.
Oh, I thought he called me a hipster bagel.
What's a hipster bagel?
Oh, well. I'm like, is this a new term? I don't know.
He has called you that off air.
That was
never,
behind your back.
Never
now
on air.
Fucking hipster bagel.
Hipster bagel is the early contender for episode title.
All right. Well, Chase, you should just hang on the line because we don't have Matt Heafy just yet.
Yeah, he'll be on a little later in the show, in the second hour.
I mean, you are moving to hipster Mecca. You are Jewish, and you have a hole. It could be... You know,
open up a bagel shop. There aren't that many in your neighborhood, is
there? One just opened, actually. I'm very
thank
happy
God.
About it.
It's called hipster bagel?
One right on Bedford.
It's called
the...
One on Bedford. Yeah, Bedford is not my neighborhood.
You could walk there.
Sure, I could.
For a bagel?
There. Well, yeah, no. There's
well,
definitely
I mean, well,
on
if
Bedford.
If you were
there
going to work, you could pick it up on the way to work. But.
Anyway, and what? Can we mute Sean's microphone since this is my world? That would
yes,
be nice.
Please.
No, I'm not muting his mic. I like
so,
that he's irritating you.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna go to a music break then.
No.
Let's get this going. I'm
come
done
on.
Here.
Hey.
Rob is going to beat me during this music break.
Music break fail.
Wah, wah.
There we go.
Turn it down.
I hope that's not one of my picks.
I'm going to delete all your picks.
No.
Yeah.
Stop it.
We'll see who has all the power.
Move them to the bottom.
I'll just plug my computer in and turn yours off. And then we're just going to be hearing Angra for 30 minutes.
I'm going to take the player off the website. There will be no more live cast. Who wins then, Noah? Who wins then?
The listeners.
Us. Because you don't make any money.
Yeah.
We're really banking on the live cast funds. Me and Frank, our whole Sweden trip was paid for by the live cast. Actually.
Yeah.
This actually pays for all our drugs. So,
yeah.
We thank
so
you.
So you guys are at a loss.
Yep, absolutely.
There you go.
So this is the last live cast, everyone. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you never again. No, I'm just kidding. We're back. It's a little early to take a music break.
Time. We're not ready.
But other than Rammstein this week, I had jury duty on Monday, which I wanted to bring up.
So how did it feel to wake up early and actually go somewhere?
It was actually kind of – I actually enjoyed that. I enjoyed the commute. enjoyed having to leave my house.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy having to wake up at 7:45 in the morning because I think
it must be
when
terrible,
did you have to be there?
8:30, but I totally got there late because I didn't give a fuck.
Well, you're always late, fashionably.
Yeah. Fashionably, yeah, I was fashionably late to jury duty. Totally.
It doesn't really matter though because they put you in a room for a couple hours anyway. Before
yeah, that's right. You know what I realized when I actually try to be early for certain things, like I was early for my 5-hour driving course, and I realized that
5 hours.
Yeah, to get your license. It was really more like 3.5 hours. But I realized for those type of things, they factor in a half an hour for people to show up late. Mm-hmm. So there's no if you show up early, you're the one that's fucked.
Yeah, they don't start the video until like 40 minutes.
Yeah, you're sitting there. So, yeah, I've decided, well, if they say 8:30, that really means they're starting at 9. So I made sure, woke up, took a shower, took a couple of bowl hits, took my time.
We had to join across the street from Santos?
Why would you
shower? No, I was in Brooklyn.
Oh, bummer.
Wait, you showered before jury duty?
Sure.
That's good.
Why would you
do
that?
He has to do it once a week.
Yeah, it was Monday. It was on the schedule.
Wouldn't it be better to go there with, like, flies coming out of your hands?
No, it was more to wake me up than to smell good.
Did you wear your killer jacket?
I wore... I should have. No, I wore the Charles Manson screen print a lifeless law shirt that I have.
Is this real or no? Did you?
What? Yeah, totally. I 100% wore it. I did not want to serve on
anything. I loved every minute of it.
That. Dude, it's such a, I don't know, whatever. I didn't want to commit the time. You, obviously. Maybe
I got out of my day job.
Yeah, if I had a day job that I hated, working for Viacom.
Exactly.
I would definitely
we were
get
down
out
by,
of
like,
it.
2 or 3 every day, and I just went home and took a nap. It was amazing. So, I don't know.
What?
But anyway, Sean takes naps.
I like naps.
At work?
Yep.
No.
So,
we're
anyway.
Talking about jury duty right now? You want to get into the conversation?
So I get there and it starts, and you know, there's the awesome video from like 20 years ago with Diane Sawyer telling you how it's like important. I felt the whole time every person that you run into that works there is trying to convince you how important of a duty it is to serve on jury duty. Like,
really, they're trying to convince themselves.
Yeah, they're like, you don't know, everyone that does it tells us, wow, you know, this was a really great experience and I really learned something about our justice. And I'm like, shut the fuck up and let's get through this. Mm-hmm. And it's okay, you show up, you're in this giant waiting room. They actually have Wi-Fi in there now, which was incredible. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then this woman comes out. Poor woman. I feel so bad for her because then she has to explain the instructions for filling out your jury duty card.
What a horrible job.
And yeah, just like giving you instructions on filling out forms because there's like two
especially
forms.
Half the people in the audience don't speak English.
Yeah. So she has to repeat everything too. And like just her cadence is so hilarious because she's just like, when we were filling out the form, she's like, all right, take out the form and look at section C. That C as in cat. Okay, look at section C as in cat. Now, where it says first name, put your first name. Where it says first name, put your first name. Where it says date of birth, put your date of birth.
Oh, boy.
Where it says date of birth, put your date of birth.
It's more complicated than the SAT.
She has to repeat it.
It's as if she was explaining it to my mom.
Where
maybe
it says
OCD and just
where it says county, Mark Kings. That's 24. Mark Kings County. Where it says county, Mark number 24. Like it was ridiculous. And then you get called into another room, and then they take attendance to make sure everybody they called actually showed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so you got to actually sit in. The jury picking process?
Yeah, I got called in, and I got picked as a juror in the first – I was a first-round draft pick in the jury duty thing. And then I'm sitting in the jury box, and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm, like, almost there. I really need to get out of this.
That sucks.
And
no, trust me. It's awesome.
Sure.
By the way, the only other context Rob would be a first-round draft pick is in a baby back rib-eating contest.
Smoking contest? I think
shrimp cocktail?
Mm.
Shrimp cocktail, cocktail. Oh, absolutely. Oh, forget it.
I take it back.
Forget it.
I take it all back.
I would like to go toe to toe with you on a shrimp cocktail.
Oh, dude, I would crush. I'm sorry.
Sean,
I would totally crush.
Sean has an advantage because he looks like a shrimp.
It's true.
Same thing.
And,
I have a cocktail.
Rob looks like the poop strip on the back of a shrimp.
The mud vein.
Never
also his favorite band.
Now you know what, guys? I am offended by that. I admit to liking Limp Bizkit and Korn at one point in my life.
311.
And Stained. And 311.
And Trivium.
Edema.
I like Trivium. Well, shut up.
Fine Young Cannibals.
But I never, ever, ever liked Mudvayne.
Not even when they're the face paint?
Too far.
Not even when they won the MTV2 award that one year?
On the VMAs.
I respected them for their... for their appearance and showing up and representing for Hard Rock. But I would never.
Oh, God.
So there's no Mudvayne on your iTunes. Not a single track.
Let's check. I bet you Dig is on there. Is there a Dig remix?
Ravishing Recruit says Mudvayne is not as bad as Limp Bizkit, by the way.
Whatever.
They all suck.
I don't like... Yeah, whatever. Anyway. What was jury duty? Yeah, so then I get picked on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge, again, trying to convince everybody that... You know, this is going to be fun, and it's worth it. But then also, he talked.
Did you have a dude or a broad?
It was a dude.
Wait, so the judge came out before the trial, and he was like, all right, guys, this is going to be the greatest moment of your lives.
Pretty much. Well, the trial, this was the trial, though. Like, it was happening. It was the jury selection. And it was a gun possession case.
Nice.
And the guy was Blick. So I figured I had an advantage in the sense that I was white, that his defense attorney would not want me on the jury because... I probably, you know, so I'm like, all right, but I'm gonna.
To be fair, you could pass for Hispanic or Arabic.
But
I guess
you're not
I get Italian all the time.
But when I was on the jury, the two defendants was one was Latino, one was Black.
What was your case?
We only had one. It was a knife point robbery.
Okay.
And so it was two guys, Black kid, Latino kid, but there was only like one person of ethnicity besides Caucasian on the entire jury.
Mm.
So I don't know if that rationale really works out.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I didn't stick by that.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, they question each juror, and they were like, you know, have you ever been robbed? And I said, yes. And they were like, was there a gun involved? No.
Will this affect your decision-making process?
And then they were like, do you have any friends who are, or family who are cops? And I'm like, yes, I have a lot of friends. I know one guy.
I have a lot of friends.
I have a lot of friends. I made the sure to say
you're like Dave Mustaine. You have friends in the FBI.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm friends with Dave Mustaine, and he's friends with
me. Yeah, you met him once.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So it works. But then, yeah, then the judge was like, will you be... You know what, Noah? I believe we had a rule. Everyone heard it. And we had a rule that there would be no eating during the show.
Yeah, you sent out emails.
Which you started.
I want the listeners to know there's a reason I don't bring pretzel rods anymore, because this...
Noah, read them out.
Because I'm a Nazi.
Let's bring this all up on the air.
You better be... Whatever that is, you better have enough for the whole class.
No shit.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway, so... Can I finish?
Yeah.
So then he's like, do you think you'll be a fair juror? And I was like, to be honest, I'll be a little biased.
Yeah.
I'll be a little biased.
That's the only way to get out of everything.
Yeah. And then he was like, can I have a sidebar? And I'm like, And then he drags me over and he's like, why do you think you would be biased? I'm like, well, I was mugged. So, you know, I'm going to hold that bias because it was a really startling experience.
Right.
He's like, oh, really? I mean, you know, can't you just...
While you're the hulking dude. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I was fucking...
Rob, you should have been like, I got pulled over on the Palisades and the cops took all my drugs when the car got searched. And I almost got arrested.
But, yeah, no, but then I would be...
I'm still in therapy for it.
Anyway, yeah. So, then, yeah, I just got dismissed by basically saying I was racist.
You never got called in again?
That was the beauty of it. I went back to the waiting room, and then at like 3:30, they were like, all right, we're out of trials for the day.
You have to go back?
You're all excused. Nope. 8 years, I don't have to go to jury duty now.
What the fuck? I had to go 2 days in a row, and then it's only a 6 year
break.
That's
because you're not in Kings County.
Yeah,
Kings
Manhattan.
County, you go
one. Where do you live?
Manhattan.
Where?
How do you say it?
Manhattan?
Really, can someone else say it so I hear the right way?
No, I'd rather
say it.
Manhattan.
Is that wrong?
It's not
just
that it's wrong.
Just say the city.
Just say New York City.
I usually say the city.
A retard. Like the Mario Brothers. Fucking dumbass.
Wait, what is it?
What?
What is it?
Anywho, so 2 days and then 6 years, so we had to go.
Yeah, sucks for you.
No, it was wonderful because I got myself on a jury. I loved it.
Oh, okay. Well, you were into the experience.
Yes. So it was like 8 or 9 days. It was great.
Ugh.
No, I didn't have to work for 8 or 9 days. We went in like 11.
Yeah, but then you show up at work, and then you have 8 or 9 days of work piled up at your
desk.
They
said, we're not coming into the court because it might snow tonight. And I was like, this job is awesome. So they got pushed back, and then you know that big storm, that we, the second big storm that we
yeah.
had? So they're like, it's supposed to start snowing in the night, but we're just not going to come in that day at all, just in case. And I'm like, that's cool. I'll see you again on Monday. It was great.
Did you go into work that day?
No.
That's right.
I told them that I had jury
duty.
I had
the same
so.
Thing. I was on a fucking jury for like 2 weeks. I was an alternate.
Mm-hmm.
And after like a second day of the trial, the first alternate got put into the real jury.
Oh.
So I was the only alternate left. So while they were all deliberating, I'd spend entire days by myself in a separate jury.
Well,
I've knocked through like
we
a dozen
the,
books.
We had the alternate come
off?
Inside with us.
Yeah. When it was in court, yes.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
when
yeah.
they were deliberating, I
right.
was separate.
No, they would just booted them.
No.
During the deliberation, they just said, go home.
No, they
you.
Had me wait there the whole time. But the thing is, if I sit still too long, I fall asleep. Like, it doesn't matter. I could be sitting first row in a college class, and I will fall asleep if I have to sit still too long.
Standing
so
in line
at
Chipotle.
We'd come in for the jury, and invariably, 15 minutes into the whatever proceedings was going on, I would be out. And somebody, like the old Puerto Rican woman next to me, would have to elbow me to wake me up. And I snore sometimes, so I'm sure, like, I was like... I don't. What the fuck do I care? I had nothing
right.
to do with it. My opinion didn't even matter. Mm-hmm. But it was ridiculous. It was like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just sitting by myself in a room.
I wanted to just keep on going, man. Going in. Well,
yeah, I
go
enjoyed
back
it.
Home at like 2:30. Like,
if they dismiss us like at 10 o'clock in the morning or something, I'm like, I could go to work and
no.
actually work a full
yeah.
day. But
fuck
that.
No.
Nobody knows.
I went home
I'm going
and just
home.
Drank myself into a nap and then just fucking
nice.
Had a great day.
There you go. Rob does that anyway, so for him it's just now I have to do it somewhere else. And...
Hey.
Got some callers?
We do have a few callers, but I'm sure they're all for Trivium. But we're going to take a music break. And then we will be back with more show.
I don't like music.
Get out.
We're going to
play all Rammstein.
We're going to extract
yes,
that.
Yes.
I can take my headphones off. You know that, right?
We'll blast our headphones. So
I'll just follow
hear.
You around with my laptop and I'll just play it.
Ghetto blaster.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, let's start with Rammstein again. For the second week in a row.
Better be America.
Don't play America.
Here's America.
down your shofars, kids. Because tonight the Metal Injection live cast is going to be like recess at the concentration camp. A big sloppy bunch of Jews BSing about nothing important and waiting to die. Enjoy the show.
All right.
Rammstein approves of that bump.
They would. Why is there a farting sound?
Just a motorcycle outside. Nobody else can hear it. Or it's Sid.
You can definitely
Sid's
hear it.
Anus talking to you.
No, if I farted right now, I might shit myself.
Hey-ho! Oh, so that means Sid has to take a poo.
I kind of do as well.
Good to know. Good to know.
We need one of them SNL love toilets.
Oh,
where we could sit
like
facing
that.
Each other while we shit.
Oh, man. I kind of want to try.
Yeah, well,
Casey
we...
Casey Slater,
we,
that
yeah.
shit.
Slater.
All right, well, I think we've made everyone patiently wait long enough. Time to get our special guest on the line.
Who's that?
Guy, Matt Eaton, his guitar.
Yep. How you guys doing?
Hey, Matt. How's it going? Thank you for taking the time to call in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thanks for having me back, man. It's been a while.
Yeah. So you guys just got back from Australia.
Yeah, I think we got back about Saturday night. So we're all still a little out of whack. It was like about 18 months since we've been on tour. So I've been waking up at 3 a lot lately.
Yeah. It's a rock and roll lifestyle, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, 3 a.m., like after going to sleep at like, you know, like 11 p.m. kind of mix-up thing.
Oh.
That kind of fun.
I thought 3 p.m.
No, 3 a.m.
What time do you usually wake up? What time do you usually wake up if your schedules are not crazy?
When I'm on tour, it's like, it's usually pretty late. It's like, I guess, midnight to 3 or so is like bedtime, and then waking up around 10 to 1. You don't really have nothing to do in the beginning part of the day, but when it comes down to me being home, I'm kind of the old man of the band. I'm usually like in bed by 10, asleep by 11, awake by 7 or 8 a.m. So, yeah, it's very un-rock and roll schedule at home.
Wow. You just lost about 100 fans.
Yep. Oh, no, they already knew. They knew I'm the old man.
By the way, you can call in. You can talk to Matt by calling our live line, which is 646-929-1357. Matt, you guys were in the studio. Me and Frank, who is also here, we traveled down to Orlando in January, like at the beginning of you guys recording, and then you took your sweet time. Recording.
Yeah.
3 months recording, right?
No, let's see. I think in January, that would have been the demos we were doing, because I heard that I had just missed you somehow. I don't know how. But let's see. We've been writing this same record for about a year and a half. We demoed it for about 8 months, and we were supposed to come out, I think, in June, or maybe it was supposed to come out like months ago, but stuff kept happening. Like, for example... You know, we were about to start the record, and then Roadrunner got bought by Warner Brothers, and then it was like a whole restructuring, and then that forced us to have to change things the way, like, you know, it was like we were about to start the record. They're like, okay, well, we just got bought by someone who's, here's the new terms of agreement, so this is how you're going to have to do the record now. So it was like one of those things that kind of held it up for about a month or so. And then the band that Khan was with, I guess they had some schedule stuff like that happen as well, so it pushed their record back that they were doing. And when Colin starts a record with the band, he finishes it. Like, it's from start to finish, no matter how long it takes. So, as everything goes in the music industry, you never really know. You can't really ever adhere to schedules because it's always changing. When we actually started the record, it took us about 3 months or so of tracking. It's going to take maybe 2 months to mix, and Colin and the team are working on that right now. And I think our first mix comes in tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So, you're at the mixing phase now.
Yes.
Cool. And do you have, like, is there a firmer release schedule?
The latest I've heard is an August, like, mid-August release. I think it's supposed to happen on the same day that we're playing the Oklahoma City show. I think we're timing it out so that the German release date is the day we play with Judas Priest in Germany, the day that we're missing the Mayhem show. And then the day we play with Maiden, the next day, I think it was like 2 days after the UK release. So it's kind of like that kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So,
name dropper.
Yeah, you know, so we're playing with Maiden, and then we're hanging out with Led Zeppelin that night. And
Led Zeppelin singing.
Yeah.
Do you, so so the record is like on your end done. Do you guys have a title for the record?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, we've been working on the album's art for almost about a year now. There's a bunch of different people involved with all the different stages of the art, but we're not releasing anything yet. Like, we have everything, yes, but we can't give any of it out.
Are you going to have, like, those dry noodle composites?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
a macaroni collage.
Yeah.
Like, that comes with the CD?
Can you give us the first letter of the album title? Just the first letter.
We'll name it for you.
I'll give you a hint. It's a vowel.
It's a vowel.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That narrows it down to about five.
Uvula.
Yeah.
What if it's just called I, like the Meshuggah album?
What if it's just called album?
It could be.
Mind blowing. Speechless.
He's like, well, that's it. Now we have to change the album title.
I was trying to think of something funny, but I couldn't.
So,
we had stupid working title names. I remember there was a rumor that this album was supposed to be called Ambition, and it's definitely not called Ambition, but that was really funny if it would have been called Ambition.
Mm.
It just reminds me of like a mid-2000s kind of positive metalcore album, but it wasn't.
Hate Breed Perseverance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
all right, so we have a ton of callers on the line.
All right.
People like you guys. We're going to start out with TJ. TJ, are you there?
Yo.
TJ, what is your question for Matt Heath?
Well, first off, I just wanted to say he's freaking awesome. Secondly, the question.
He can hear
what's
you.
What's up with your signature guitar you just announced the other day?
Wait, is this the... Your voice sounds really familiar. Did we go to high school together or no?
No, we did not go to high school,
okay.
But I live pretty
okay.
close to where you grow up.
Uh-oh.
And
I thought you were a TJ that I knew. So I was like, oh, wait a second.
Fucking wish, dude.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, the signature guitar. Let's see. So I've been emailing back and forth with Epiphone right now. We're kind of getting the specs out. It's definitely going to be a Les Paul custom body shape. And today on Twitter, like a lot of people are talking about, like, oh, why is it an Epiphone and not a Gibson? And for me to do what I wanted to do, which is a Les Paul custom with my specs, all these different things that are going on the guitar, for a Les Paul custom be in the price range of like $4,000 to $7,000, which no one, including myself, can afford for a signature guitar of anyone. So when it came down to being able to do it to Epiphone, I know that we're going to be able to work out the specs to a point where it'll be exactly what I want to make and exactly what I feel like, you know, our fans will appreciate that. That way, people that wanted to have it could afford it versus, you know, it being impossible to afford. And what's great about Epiphone is I've been to the factories and stuff, and I've been to where they make the custom shop Gibson stuff, the USA Gibson stuff, and the Epiphone stuff, and it's all done amazingly. Like, I was really impressed when I went down and saw the Gibson custom shop, and I know that the same quality of work follows suit with Epiphone. So definitely have EMG 8185. It's going to be set to standard tuning for people, but our new record's in drop D flat, and the paint job will be cool. It's going to be like there'll be some details I'll hold off on, like, but it's basically going to be modeled after my main Les Paul custom, the one that's in the Flies video.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Thank you for your question, TJ.
Don't you think it's really funny how
nope.
like music instruments and all that stuff is so expensive? Meanwhile, musicians probably make the least amount of money, and they probably
yep.
can't afford anything.
The least
yes,
amount of
nope.
who?
Employed people.
I think that's
probably
right.
My signature being modeled after a guitar that I've had since I was 12, so I'm obviously still playing it for reasons like that.
All right, let's get some more fans on the line. We have...
I have to say, though, that my first guitar was also an Epiphone. It was like a starter pack, and I still have it today.
That's awesome. Yeah, my very first guitar ever... Actually, the first one I was ever pictured with, I was like 6 months old, and it was like a Steinberger G2. It's the kind without the headstock. I wasn't playing it, obviously, but that's still it's still at my parents' house, which is pretty awesome.
Wow.
Do you know my mom can wail on a little Cherry Yamaha with a starter
really?
In it? Yeah. She
awesome.
She played in like this in the school band. I think
his mom
school.
Is Nancy Wilson from Heart.
That's awesome.
No,
really like in her school band, she picked electric guitar. Because right. Whatever, you know. She wanted to be Joni Mitchell, I guess, but no one told her that was acoustic.
Yeah. Well, she wanted to be Nancy Wilson. Come on, go with it.
All right, now we have... we have Rodolfo on the phone.
That's not a real name.
Yes, it is.
I think it's Rodolfo.
Rodolfo, are you there?
Yep.
Thank you
for the comments.
Yes. Actually, where are you from, Rodolfo? Hold on.
Actually, I'm in California.
Okay.
Rodolfo was my Spanish name chosen for my Spanish class in high school.
Nobody cares.
Great.
Rodolfo.
that was great. That was great. Thanks, Sean.
I care because I thought it was Rodolfo, and that's what I wanted to be.
Well, Rodolfo, what is your question for Matt Heafy, who is also on the line with us?
I'm going to ask Matt Heafy if I should buy a Dean 7-string or if I should wait for a 7-string model, Corey's.
I'm sure the company wouldn't be too stoked with me saying anything bad about them, but I mean, if it's any indication, it's like, you know, me and Corey don't play their music anymore. And I think it's, you know, it's all down to personal preference. I'd say, you know, try everything out, try what you like, because everyone, when it comes down to guitar brands, people are you know, as intensively elitist with guitar brands that they think that they like to play better than anyone else could be. You know, it's almost like talking to someone about their, like, political affiliation when it comes to guitar brands. I would say try out what you want to try out, but, you know, it's all about what you like. You know, it's obvious that me and Corey didn't dig the stuff, and that's why we're not with it anymore. But, yeah, Corey's going to have his out pretty soon. I'm going to have mine out eventually. I think we're doing a 7-string one of mine as well. I'm not entirely sure. But you should try everything, though. But it's hard to judge at the music store because usually it's set up by someone at the music store or it's shipped factory and it isn't really set up right. If you have some friends who've got brands that you want to try, and you know, and you can play like a really cheap guitar, and if it's set up by the right tech, it'll be amazing. So it's really a matter of personal preference, but Corey would sway you towards it.
Well, right. Just watch out because Rodolfo is going to find you at Mayhem Fest, and he's going to ask you to set up his guitar.
Oh, I'm really bad at setting guitars up. That's why we have amazing guitar techs. I'm not capable of even restringing my own guitar anymore. Well, I could do that, but not that well.
Awesome. Let's keep the questions going. We got Khalib on the phone. Khalib.
Hey,
Khalib. Khalib. Of course, Rob would go to Khalib before Caleb. Of course, Rob would. All right.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Whoa. What's up? I've got like major delay going on.
You should lower your speaker.
Wait, hold on. I got it on speakerphone. Let me turn it off.
Okay, that's why.
All right, hello?
Yes.
What's up?
Tell us.
How are you doing? I was gonna ask Matt what was like when do you think the album's gonna come out and what other album of theirs is it like more influenced by? Like, does it sound more like Shogun or like Ascendancy or whatever?
Yeah, let's see. We're hoping that it comes out around mid-August. I think it was mid-August. It's whenever the Oklahoma City show on Mayhem is, whatever month or date that is. I know that that's the date it's supposed to come out in the U.S. It's hard to say which one it sounds most like, but I mean, I can say to date, my favorite one that we've ever done is Ascendancy, our second of four. That's been my favorite. There's a lot of experimentation on Crusade and Shogun. Like Crusade was the opposite of everything Ascendancy was, and Shogun was kind of pulling elements from every single record, where this one doesn't sound like any of the other ones at all, but with this record, it sounds more like us than ever. Because with the other records, you could go, okay, well, maybe this sounds like this kind of music, or this sounds like this kind of band, or maybe it pulls from here or there. Whereas what this is just definitive, our sound. There's nothing that really deviates from the path of what the CD is. It's all in the realm of itself. I know it's really broad, and it doesn't really answer too much of it. It's a whole new thing. It's not like anything that we've done before. Again.
Cool. And I just looked it up, and August 9th is the day of the Oklahoma City show.
August 9th? Okay, cool. Yeah, so it's supposed to be on that date.
So August 9th is when Trivium's new record album hits stores.
Hopefully.
Cool. All right, let's keep the questions going.
Well, thank you.
Caleb?
Caleb.
Oh, really?
We have another Matt on the line. Matt, you're on the air with Matt.
Awesome.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, Matt?
Matt's excited.
Hey, I'm pretty good. I just wanted to say you're like huge inspiration to me, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, you know, on the new album, lyrically, you know, how is it any different than, you know, stuff that you've written before?
Let me think. With Ember and Ascendancy, they're both kind of in the same realm. They're both a lot of personal stuff, a little bit of, like, social things, you know, things that I saw around me. With Crusade, it was a lot of sociopolitical, maybe drawing more from specific current events and a couple other bits here and there. You know, obviously some things coming from personal. With Shogun, there was a lot of mythology influence. There was a lot of Japanese history influence. With this new record, the long answer for the short answer is basically that there is no right or wrong answer on what anyone's going to perceive on what the lyrics mean to them, but I will not be saying what they mean to me at all, because I really want people to come up with everything, like everything down to the music, to the visuals, to the art, because we're recreating everything with this new record. There's like a new Trivium logo. There's a new style of art. There's a new look. There's a new feel. There's new kinds of videos. New everything going on. And I really want it up to the ear and the eye of the beholder of what they feel like it means to them. So whatever it means to you is going to be right. And I don't want people to go into it with a preconceived notion of what I feel like it should mean, or it could mean something else for that person and that listener.
Cool. All
right, sweet. I'll see you at my end.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt.
And Matt, when can we expect like the first single from the record? Have you guys decided that yet?
I have the date somewhere in my emails. Let's see. The first single is the first mix that we're getting tomorrow. And then this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, we're shooting the video for it. And there's I believe there's a trailer coming out for soon that doesn't have any of the music, but has some of the visual themes going on. So I wish I could the exact date. I think people are going to have to, it's one of those things that people have to keep going onto our website to see when it's coming out, because we're not releasing it like a normal single release is. It's more something that's going to start popping up randomly around the internet, I believe.
When do we get to see this new logo? Is it an unreadable band's, you know, death metal logo?
It is, yeah. It's written in goat blood, and it was used on all organic canvas.
Nice.
I'm kidding. It's like a revamp of, it's still familiar, but something a little bit new. There's like a new ingredient to it. So I'm not sure when that stuff is. I know if my manager's listening right now, he's probably like wanting to kick me in the head, because he sent me the schedule of all the exact release dates of everything. But I'm not sure if we're supposed to be revealing those things, or it's supposed to be one of those things that's, you know, when a lot of bands, when they're about to release a record, it's like, oh, this band, blah, 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 released their cover art today. And people are like, oh, sweet, I have the cover art, but I don't have any of the music or any sort of thing. And I think that it's all going to be a little more, things will start popping up randomly, and things will start being, like, passed around through people, like the old school days.
I'm pretty sure if your manager were on the air right now, he would say, no, Matt, go ahead, reveal all your info to Metal Injection.
Yeah, that's what you'd say.
Can you hum a riff? Can we get a little riff preview?
Oh,
we need something to send to Blabbermouth.
Oh, man. You know,
he hums Trivium, new Trivium single for Metal Injection Livecast.
He
look at the headline.
He revealed that the first letter of the album is a vowel. That's enough.
Is that really a Blabbermouth album, though?
Anytime anything musical comes out of this voice, it costs money. You guys should know that. So. Might have to up the pay on this one.
Ooh.
Good answer.
We got priced out of that one.
Yes, you did.
Anyway, we have a ton of callers, so we are not letting you go, Matt. Let's take Mike. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, what's going on? I'm right here.
Cool.
How you doing?
What's your question for Matt?
All right, well, you know, Matt, you've been all around. You've been playing music for a very long time. My question to you is, out of all the countries and places you've been, which place had the best food?
Oh, man. The best food, without a doubt, for me, and it's probably because I'm a little racially partial, is Japan. That's my favorite place ethnically. And everywhere that I go there, it's so cool, because it's such a mix of, like, classical, old, and I'm even talking about, like, architecture. You can go to, like, the areas where they've got statues and temples that have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, or you can go to places where it feels like you're in some kind of technological future land, like walking around in an area like Shibuya, Tokyo. Since Japan was probably an obvious answer, I guess the next place I would have to say would be Indonesia. Indonesia was probably another one of my favorite places, and I just really had no idea what to expect of Indonesia when we got there. Like, everything from we thought maybe there'd be, like, 300 people at the show, and we didn't have any idea really what the food was. We knew it would be kind of, you know, because I'm familiar with Thai food, I'm familiar with Indian food. I thought it was going to be kind of a mix of the two, but it ended up being a whole new thing. And Indonesian food was definitely one of my favorites, and one of my favorite dishes I had there was a thing called nasi padang. And what that was, it was a giant, it looked like a brick in a banana leaf. And so when you open up this banana leaf thing, you see that it's got a whole bunch of rice, like half a chicken, a fish sausage, and all this spicy sauce in it. And Indonesian food was just really fun to eat as well. It was very, the traditional way to eat was with your hands. And they taught me, like, the specific fingers to use, and you're supposed to have your leg kind of propped up, like, on the chair while you're eating. So like, it was like a really fun experience. Outside of those two places, I think as a whole, like Middle Eastern food, and including especially Turkish, and then down to like South American, Latin, Mexican food. Like, those would be like my first, second, third, and fourth places.
So the globe.
Yes, but food is definitely my number one favorite thing in the world. It's food, and then it's music after that.
All right, thanks for your call, Mike. Let's move on to Tim in New Jersey. Tim, you're on the air with Matt Heafy. What is your question?
I just have a question. I wanted to know, Matt, if I have my band. You're a great inspiration to me, especially my vocal styling. And my band, especially, everyone tells us we're going to be good and everything like this. And I don't know whether or not to take on that mentality or what to do. And I was wondering if someone like you that has been there can tell me what I should do to be where I want to go in life with this stuff.
So say the first part again. You were saying that people have been saying like that you guys are rocking and all that stuff, and we're just trying to figure out how to take that all in. Is that the first part you're wondering?
No, I'm like trying to figure out there. Everyone says you guys are going to be great. You guys are going to go somewhere. And I don't know whether or not, like, to take on that mentality of, yeah, I'm going somewhere, whether or not I don't want to be cocky or anything. Yeah. And I do want to go somewhere, and I figure, I mean, I want to ask you, especially since you're, like, one of my greatest inspirations, whether or not I should do that and what I can do to gain what I want, where I want to go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, always take a claim with, like, a grain of salt, whether good or bad or anything in between. Always, you know, be humbled by it, but never take it too much to heart. And that's still something that we do. You know, we still, I know naysayers may not believe when I say something like, you know, when people, even when we get like awards or these magazine things or people say this or that about the band, we're always happy, but we never look at it as something that's going to define us. Or even when it's in the opposite end, when it's negativity, you should never look at that as that what defines you. But it's really, you can look at yourself and see what you want and how you want it to happen. The hard thing, the music industry is getting harder and harder with bands. You know, even nowadays, when I was mentioning earlier in the interview how I forwarded a record, Warner bought Roadrunner, so it was like almost like dealing with a completely different label with the same people, so these different terms come about, and we're able to learn about like how newer bands are signed and how it's like a tricky world and everything. But the biggest thing is to always make music from the heart, and you got to make it for you. You got to make what you want to make, because when you start trying to make things to please others or when people try to sway you one direction or another thing. I mean, working with a producer or a songwriter is one thing, but when it's kind of, you know, listening to the internet or listening to press or whatever about saying how to mold your sound, you definitely don't do that. And when it comes down to the positivity, yeah, look at it as a pump up, but no more than that. No more than, like, if someone's like, man, you guys are going to be 10 times platinum selling band. You're like, yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I hope so. And then just go back to doing your thing. But, the biggest thing with being in a band that I would always encourage to people in bands is the song comes first. Making songs that people can connect to is more important than technicality, more important than brutality, more important than look, more important than anything. It's all about having these songs that can connect to people in a specific way, lyrically and musically. Because I'm definitely noticing that nowadays, when Trivium first came out, it wasn't really cool to solo yet. It was getting there, and everyone was like,
you know, obviously the Swedish bands have always been soloing and been sick players and everything, but right now in extreme music, everyone is so good at their instrument, it's ridiculous. Like, these dudes shred me, they shred Corey, they shred, like, all their contemporaries, or even bands that I used to think were the greatest guitar players in the world, but the thing is they're lacking substance, they're lacking songs, things that people can connect to at that heart level. So it's all about that. It's all about making what you want to make and really making something for yourself, because the fact that you can create music and you guys can create music with friends, it's something a lot of people don't get to do or a lot of people take for granted. So if it works out and you guys get signed and you're able to take it further, awesome. And if it doesn't, the thing is you need to look at the fact that you're able to do that and then you can put that kind of effort in life and then you can put that towards anything else or even to try again. You can be like, you know what, this batch of songs didn't work out. Let's try again with something else. So always look to yourself for motivation and just make it for you.
Awesome, cool. Thank you for your question, Tim. That was a really good one. Now we have Jimmy on the line. Jimmy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing?
Matt, hey, I just want to say that you're my biggest guitar idol ever. That, you know,
Thanks,
I even own the biography for Trivium. I mean, you guys are the best.
Thanks, man. And, I haven't read that myself. I hope it says nice things.
Oh, it's good.
Okay.
That's my Bible. Okay. My question for you is, how heavy is this new album going to be? I've heard rumors that it's going to be like one of your heaviest albums. Is that true?
Yeah, let's see. If I can describe, trying to keep it general, it definitely has some of the most intense moments we've ever done ever, and it also has some of the most simplistic and melodic moments we've ever done. I know a lot of bands, whenever they're about to make their new record, they're so it's, oh, it's this and this, and it's the most extreme on both ends, but truthfully, this one for us, this time around, it is that way. It has some of the most intense moments that we've ever done, like stuff that we were listening back and we were like, holy shit, this is kind of heavy. And yeah, you'll be happy, without a doubt. For people that dig the band, they'll be blown away with the music. And I think that even people that may have not felt this before, you know, if you give it a chance, I think that people will definitely appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question.
I think it's really cool that there are a lot of young kids that listen to you guys and that you guys are inspiring them to pick up instruments.
It's so awesome. Yeah, we've met a lot of bands that we've actually toured with that were like, you know, bands that we thought are kick-ass or watch them from the side of the stage and be like, man, you guys are awesome, and then they'll tell us later on, it's like, hey, man, you know, we wanted to start a band from Ascendancy. You know, we see a lot of British bands that have that kind of thing, like bands that are around our age or a little bit younger, and we're always very happy about that because there are a lot of bands out there that have huge followings of younger audiences, and they maybe portray like a really, you know, the sex, drugs, rock and roll kind of thing. And I know we're not exactly in that phase of the question, but it is always awesome that our fans that we always meet are really inspired to do things, inspired to start bands or play guitar or sing, or, you know, some of them want to take it even further when, you know, I've recently got a yoga about 8 months ago when I've been having a lot of our fans ask me about that and about, like, what style they should look into or see, like, what our other interests are. Like, food, for example. Like, it's really cool because I see a lot of our fans are always talking about food now, which is exciting. So, yeah, it's a really good thing. Like, we're definitely very happy that our spectrum of age range is very wide, and it's always been.
Yep.
Cool. I think we have Dave Mustaine on the line.
Oh, yeah?
Or maybe not.
No, but I do got a question about him.
Oh, okay. It just says in my call screen, it says Dave Mustaine. But all right, go ahead.
I was going to ask Matt Heafy, is Dave Mustaine still mad at you for kicking his dog?
That wasn't Matt Heafy. That was James Hetfield who kicked his dog.
Are you sure? Are you certain? I don't know about that. But I'll take your word, Rob.
That you didn't know who the owner was? Because it might have been Dave Mustaine's dog.
Right, yeah, I've never. I wouldn't be able to bring myself to kick an animal, I don't think. But Paulo used to call people. I remember when we toured in the van, Paulo would always call people with that "kick my dog" thing. Was that from Jerky Boys? Jerky Boys.
Well, Dave,
you kick my dog, isn't that?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
The specific thing that was just referred to as a thing we talk about on the show sometimes. Dave Mustaine and his autobiography mentions how James Hetfield at some point kicked his dog and they got into a brawl.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the reasons he left Metallica early on.
Oh.
Wait, but he got kicked out.
Well,
it all depends who you ask, really. Yeah.
Not according to Dave Mustaine.
Remember, this is Dave's autobiography.
Okay.
All right. We have. What was that?
Oh, nothing.
All right.
me and Dave are friends now. He forgave me.
Oh, okay, cool. Good to know. We have Tanner on the line.
Danny Tanner?
Tanner. Danny Tanner?
Yeah.
Stephanie Tanner.
What's up, Tanner?
I was just wondering if Matt had any advice for, like, younger band.
Yeah, man, definitely. I was mentioned to one of the guys a second ago, but so you might hear some of the repeats if anyone else. But the big thing about when you're in a band now is to make sure the same dedication that you have and the same goals that you want for your band that the bandmates share. You know, if you're in a band where it's very serious to one or several of you and it's kind of just a whatever BS hobby to the other ones, it's going to be always hard to take it to the next step because you're not going to see as much dedication. All individual members always need to be practicing their ass off, be really skilled at your instrument. And when each guy is prepared by himself, that way when you piece it together and you're always rehearsing as a band, you work more as a singular unit than a bunch of people in a band. When creating songs, it's all about making songs that count, making songs that you feel represent who you are as a musician, but that also that these songs are out there so people can relate to them. You know, that's kind of tricky. It's tricky to say, hey, write for yourself, but also write songs that people can get to. But it's all about finding that balance. You know, it's taken me 5 records to figure out what that means. 5 records to be like, okay, I'm making exactly what I want to make, but I know people are going to like this too because it's not taking it to this different direction of the for the purpose of being extreme, just to be extreme. You know, whereas nowadays things are just getting heavier and more technical, where it's almost nonsensical. That yes, it's awesome to listen to, but what do you when you walk away from a show of seeing some intense band, what part are you going to hum? You know, what thing connected with you? What lyrical line made you think about your life? So I would say that those are some of the key ingredients that I look for in a band. Like if I want to be a fan of a band, that I'm looking to see and hear those things.
That's awesome advice. Do you think there's going to be material on the new album that people will be wanting to hum after?
Definitely. Not tuning our own horn, but I truly believe that every single song has a...
Can you hum riffs you think are the most hummable on the record?
Dude, every note is going to cost you like $50.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. But what's really fun about this record is, I mean, the other records we've had catchy riffs, as in guitar parts, but also vocal parts. But it's kind of like trade-offs. Like some songs will have a riff, some songs will have a vocal part. But I feel, at least to us, maybe because we've heard it so much, every song has something that's recognizable to it. You know, that has an iconic riff that you can sing, but also an iconic vocal part that you can sing, which is a good thing.
Cool. All right. We're going to take one more question, and then we'll let you go. We have Daryl on the line. Daryl, are you there? Uh-oh. Daryl, no? Last call for Daryl. All right, no more Daryl.
Womp, 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 womp.
All right. We have another guy. We have Tyler on the line. Tyler?
Yeah.
How are you doing? You're on the line with Matt Heafy. What's your question?
I'm fantastic. I was just wondering what was it like to be in a successful band at such a young age?
It's tricky. I think that it's not something that I really notice, and I don't think it is something that we notice that we are younger in a band that is doing something. It's more so when we started off, it was a little trickier for us. You know, because like we can all look back in this band and all laugh at, you know, maybe the different phases and looks that we've had over the years and be like, oh, we look like that, or we look like that, we can all laugh about it. But it was a little bit harder when we first came out. Like, I remember being 16, 17, 18, I was stoked that people were going to finally hear our music. And I think the hardest thing at the time being that young was the negativity for me. Nowadays, it's not an issue anymore, but when we were starting off, it was something that was hard to deal with because it was like, man, I'm making this stuff that, you know, that I love, because I'm into these bands that all these other kids are into too, but we're getting slagged off for it. I think what's hard about being a younger band that makes it, that gets signed, that starts to tour, that does all this stuff, is that you have to grow up in the public eye. You know, a lot of bands that came out, a lot of the forerunners of metal that were out in like 2004 or whatever, when Ascendancy came out, all these bands were a couple years older than us, so they were able to figure out their look and their style and what they were as people outside of the music while they were still local, maybe so before they started touring or before they were in the public eye. And it was all the growing that we had to do in the public eye that made it difficult. Aside from that, I mean, we're very fortunate that we started so early, because we have all the time in the world. You know, I mean, you look at the Rolling Stones, they're still going and they're still kicking ass. And, you know, I want to be going, that's what I want to be doing then as well. So it's not like we only have 5 or 20 years left in us. It's like we've got, man, I don't even know, I mean, what, 40, 50 years left in us if all goes well. So, yeah, is that right? 40, 50? Yeah.
Who knows?
Depending on how long I live.
In a few years, we might become robots.
It's possible.
You'll live on forever.
Yeah, it's possible. But yeah, so it's a good thing. You know, I wouldn't trade what I do for anything in the world. There are its hard parts. There are its ups and its downs. But still, I love what I do, and I love what I'm able to do. And I try to do it to the full, you know, because I know we do, and I've emphasized a couple times tonight, that it is about making music that comes from the heart and that is for you. And, you know, I'm talking about for you, for me, or whoever's writing the music. But we still do realize that what we do is, it's not just ours anymore. It's something that is loved by a lot of people around the world, and it's people that we care about, you know. It's not just something we're a band and that we've got these consumers. It's more so that this, we have a common love for the same thing that we happen to be playing, but we'd be playing it to no one if we didn't have these people that came out and that supported the music. So it's just become this, it's not massive yet. And I've seen really big bands, and the phenomenon it becomes when they become a little bit bigger. But already at this stage, you know, we do feel the responsibility to really make stuff from the heart, because it's not just ours anymore. It's become anyone that enjoys it as well. So it's Trivium is more than just, it's more than just the band now. It's everything and everyone that supports it as well. So we always try to do the best that we can for that. And it's a big responsibility, but I do enjoy it. Sorry, what were you saying?
That's how we feel about the live cast.
Yes, exactly.
All the,
I mean, it's awesome. It's a gateway that you guys have created, that, you know, where you're all able to talk to people they wouldn't normally be able to talk to.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to give away your number to your fans. That'd be a little weird, them calling you in the middle of the night. Hey, what's your advice for young bands? That's why we have the show.
So yep, please, yeah, exactly.
To connect everyone.
I actually have
but
a
if everybody wants to know Matt's number, it's...
I have a quick question.
It's 888-STUD-DUDE.
All right, Frank.
Matt, you actually mentioned this a couple times during the session, but you mentioned how Warner was purchased Roadrunner. And, you know, Roadrunner being a label that was once kind of like really prominent for signing young metal bands and not necessarily doing so anymore. Like, what do you think of the new setup? Are they, like, how has it changed what you guys do, or how's working with them?
Honestly, the state of the music industry is very scary. And I know that's the word going around for everything. And all the big pop stars say that as they collect their gigantic royalty checks. But it is scarier for the bands that aren't at that level. I think we're in the safe zone because we're slightly established of a band, but I really do feel for bands that are trying to get signed now, because the 360 deal is the industry standard now. And 360 deal means basically that the record label, no matter what record label is, I know independent labels and major labels alike do the same thing. They take a cut in a percentage of every single penny you make from every single thing. So for example, let's say I'm in a new band and I'm also about to release a signature guitar and all this stuff, that label is going to get a cut of that, even though they're not doing it. That label is going to get a cut of me being on tour, even though it's not them that's on tour. It's them that's sitting at their desk and going home to their family every night. And it's them that's getting a cut of the T-shirts, even though that's what feeds the bands, that's what allows bands to pay their rent and pay their mortgages. So it's tricky. You know, I'm not completely slagging the 360 thing, because apparently what it's supposed to be is the label takes bits of everything, obviously because records don't sell anymore, but they're supposed to put more money into it to push that band and make that band bigger. So for a band that's new, that has nothing, like that has no ammunition to bring up and to be like, hey, you know, label, you need me because of this, if they don't have that upper hand, it's going to be a little scary. It is unfortunate. You know, there are a lot of bands that aren't around anymore. Like, I think one of the biggest mistakes, and I'll call Roadrunner on it every day, is dropping Sanctity. I think that Sanctity on another record would have been, like, you know, you look around right now, that there are no new metal bands, like metal kids in it that are doing well, like, that I can think of. You know, they're all bands that are kind of intermingled in, whether they're in more so like the punk hardcore world or they're more in like the radio rock world, but there aren't really any contemporary metal bands that are kind of playing this modern style of metal anymore. Because I remember when we were about to get signed, it was Shadows Fall, God Forbid, Killswitch Engage, Lamb of God. I'm not saying those bands aren't around anymore, but they're still around, but there isn't anyone new, like leading a new charge. Rise to Remain is also another band that I feel like Roadrunner should have picked up, but they're going to something else now. You know, they're a band that I feel like is a great modern metal band. But yeah, Roadrunner for me, when I was a kid, was always the label that was into creating something new, like showing you these new bands that are about to start a movement. You know, even the bands that aren't, you know, even the bands that were kind of more in like the new metal realm of Roadrunner, they were all very responsible for starting something important. They were all trendsetters. And, yeah, so Roadrunner was just bought by Warner, and then Warner was just bought by a super rich Russian dude. So we'll see what happens. It's changing daily, the music industry, and I think there's, what, only four or five major record labels that exist anymore. They all keep absorbing each other. I mean, eventually, when iTunes becomes a record label and everyone can just do their stuff through iTunes, I guess record labels will be obsolete. I mean, there's no way of telling. I know it's a scary thing for a band guy to be saying about a record label, but you know, you got to look realistically. I mean, I'm sure people said back when CDs were doing really well, they're like, oh yeah, CDs will never be out of phase. But CDs are out of phase, books are out of phase, DVDs aren't worth shit anymore, and it's always changing. So you really never know the way it's gonna go. But I wish Roadrunner didn't drop Sanctity. I wish Roadrunner signed Rise to Remain. And but yeah, they probably look at their numbers and be like, all right, well, metal's not selling anymore. We need to see what is selling. And it's hard to know what's selling. I mean, right now, deathcore is selling tickets and merch. I don't know if it's selling records, but that there are some bands out there that still do crazy record sales that you wouldn't think would. I know, I remember I heard an awesome stat, because I love this band. I love Mumford & Sons, and I heard that they're, I don't know if they're outselling or they're at par with, but it was with Katy Perry. Either they outsold her or they're at par with, and which is amazing. This is a band that, you know, there's pretty much a DIY attitude about that band. I don't know if they're on a major or an indie label or whatever, but they came out of nowhere with no ultra backing of a major label and were able to do it themselves and create this whole buzz. And so it's really about changing the game when you're a band, doing it differently, to not do it the way that you're told to do it. And I feel like that we're doing that on this one, and we'll see what happens with this record.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time, Matt. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys. It was awesome to talk to you guys. I remember you guys gave us our first video interview ever.
Yeah, we talked about Blumpkins.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. There were some new ones, but I don't remember what they were. I learned new ones recently, but I can't remember them.
I actually heard an update to Blumpkin called the Crumpkin, where you basically just smoke crack while you're getting a Blumpkin.
That's a good one. I'll tell you what, Matt, if you remember them, feel free to call us back anytime. Well,
yeah, man, and if you guys want to do another one of these, I really had a good time. I love doing the things where we can, like, talk to people that dig the band and stuff, so we should do another one of these.
Yeah, let's do it.
We should do many more.
Actually,
let's do one every week.
Actually, yeah, there's a co-host position that's open, so if you'd like a permanent member.
Why?
Who's co-host?
Sean? Sean's out. You're in.
I have
but yeah, I mean, I dig this, so we should do another one before Mayhem or another one before Mayhem.
I can always be in call screener.
There we go. Yeah.
But, I hope we can allow it that hopefully people can call over Skype too, because we've got tons of international fans who are talking through Twitter today. They're all saying they want to call in, and I didn't hear anyone internationally today, so maybe they just couldn't get in line or something.
Yeah, they could do like Google through Gmail. You could make free phone calls.
No, but they could do it through Skype as well.
Yeah, I think we could.
Okay, cool.
We'll figure it out.
Maybe they were just. Because I know some people said they were like the first ones calling in line, and I don't know if I heard from them or not.
Well, we did have like 30 people, and I'm not sure that we wanted to tax you with all that.
Oh, quite a few people online.
Yeah, I'm a long answerer, so you guys might have been around for a while.
We'll book more time with the call screening next time.
So I'm just working on a three-word answer. A three-word answer.
Yes, I think so. No, I disagree.
July 27th.
I like drugs.
All right, cool. So make sure to check out Trivium on Mayhem Fest this summer. And, of course, their new record titled Album.
No, stop it, Rob. Not true.
Our new album, the album, will be out sometime in this year.
August 9th. Your new album,
hopefully.
Album. Will be out.
Hopefully, unless we get sold to something else. And then we have to change our terms again. You never know.
Al-Qaeda might buy Warner Brothers, and then
it's possible. Oh man, I would have to. I'd be peacing out.
All right, cool. Well, we're gonna let you go. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
And now let's take it back old school with some Trivium from Ascendancy.
Oh yeah.
Shot to the head of trepidation.
Yay. We'll be right back.
this is Chelsea Blandington. I know what you people are doing over there, with your sex parties, poker games, and whiskey binges. I haven't seen Chuck in 3 days. But if you see him, tell him the kids and I have moved in with my mother. And now, it's the Metal Injection Livecast.
All right, we're back. And that was a shorter...
I didn't know we were going to have a sex party today.
We did two music breaks. I'm very proud of us.
We did them?
We did them in the butt.
Ooh.
That last song was American Woman by Anal Cunt.
Yes, my fave.
Probably the best cover song ever of all time.
Yeah, besides Lenny Kravitz, American Woman. That was awesome.
I have an anal cunt story that I want to talk about in 1 second.
Is it about your anal cunt?
No. But while on the break, I can't even speak right now because we just smoked a joint, I was reminded of when I was in Orlando, me, Frank, and the Metal Sucks guys went to hang out at Audio Hammer Studios with Jason Sukoff and Eyal Levi of Doth. And,
wasn't Jason Sukoff in a band with Matt Heafy?
Yeah, Capernaum.
Yeah.
Or Capernaum. I don't know.
Capernaum.
Anyway, so the thing I remember most was that Colin Richardson, who was this very respected British producer, was like, you know, the studios were like two houses basically. And us and the Metal Sucks guys, since we were just hanging out, we were always like in the house where they weren't working because we didn't want to disturb anybody.
Sure.
How nice of you.
And all we really did the entire time we were there was just smoke a lot of weed. More accurately, vaporize a lot of weed. Because they had a vaporizer in every fucking room, which is the life.
He would roll around with his own, like, I don't even know what you call it.
Silver Surfer?
No,
the whip.
Yeah. So he would just hold the whip, and then he had, like, a vaporizer prepared.
Yeah, he had his own personal whip, the thing that you pull on.
Oh, my God.
he had one for guests and one for himself, which I love.
How come
but...
you guys don't spoil us with that? And by us, I mean me.
Next time, we won't take you. But the funniest...
That's not what I meant. I meant that the Metal Injection Mansion should have vaporizers.
Oh, I have a vaporizer.
And a kegerator.
And a what?
A kegerator.
Oh,
mini refrigerator just for kegs.
Can we have a deep fat fryer and a brick oven to make pizzas as well? So there's something for me.
And a chocolate milkshake water fountain.
Maybe
wow.
like a
wow.
A taffy
wow.
Pole.
Look at all these demands.
These are, hold on, no, these are all great suggestions. Can we write these down? We need a bunch of this out.
Can we get a water slide from the second floor to the first floor?
Yes.
What about a fire
metal
pole?
Injection summer renovation?
No, it's moving. We can put this
but the funniest part was that, like, every time we would start smoking, like, I just remember, like, packing the vaporizer and, like, about to take a pull, Colin Richardson would walk in the room, like, like without, like, any time. And at one point, I turned to Axel Rosenberg, and I'm like, dude, it's so weird. Like, anytime we start smoking, Colin Richardson walks by. He must think we're the biggest potheads. And then he looks at me, and he's like, yeah, but dude, you are the biggest. I'm like, oh yeah, fair point.
And this was an anal cunt story?
This was a trivium story because they were recording. They were recording the album there.
Am I going crazy?
Yeah,
no, he did.
No, I said before I get to the anal cunt story, I wanted to say this.
I thought this was there. Okay.
Now the anal cunt story.
I am so lost
now. Just forget about the transition. I never won the podcast transition award of the year.
You're pretty right. Terrible at segueing, Rob.
Did I mention I have cancer?
You're great.
Actually, I'd like to see Rob on a segue sometime.
I thought you were going to say you'd like to see Rob with cancer.
Only you would say something that mean, Sid.
I just need to wait a couple of years.
Hold on, let me light this joint.
Yeah.
But no, the anal cunt story was I was at a one of those things at South by Southwest, a panel, that's the word.
Okay.
And I love it was like this esteemed music panel and they kept talking about anal cunt.
Nice.
At this music and like they're like, yeah, you know, for example, it was a metal on the internet panel and they were talking about writing headlines. And one guy was like, you know, with anal cunt, some people write anal C star star T, but I'm like, screw it. I'll just write it all. And then like 2 minutes later, some of the guys were like, you know, I don't know about anal cunt. I wouldn't. And like anal cunt got name dropped like 5 times. And I guarantee that is the only panel in the history, in the history of panels,
yeah.
that had anal cunt name dropped not once, but possibly twice.
Well, do you consider a police lineup a panel?
Because they probably name dropped.
There's
no.
been a few of those.
No, no, no. So those are my stories. What are yours?
Sean reads Esquire magazine.
Yeah, apparently. Fucking Big Shot.
I was at the dentist. I just said this.
Get your t-shirt, fucking Big Shot.
Why?
Punk rock.
That's right.
No, I got when I was younger, I took a baseball bat to the mouth, and that's why my two front teeth aren't even.
Was it because of something you said?
Esquire is isn't Esquire just Maxim with a larger vocabulary? Isn't that really what it is?
Pretty much. I mean, and then not as close to like. Well, I guess I think it's in the middle of Maxim and GQ, like it's right there. Still trying to be dudely, but still trying to be like stylish and classic, you know,
right.
kind of
yeah.
at the same time. But no, I was there and they wanted to fix my fucking teeth.
Talking about another dying industry, by the way. That's the
dentistry?
Only place. No, magazine publishing.
True.
That's
yeah.
the only place you will read a magazine is at the dentist's office.
I realize I can get fucking magazines on my Kindle.
You have a Kindle?
I did. I got a Kindle.
Reading Esquire.
Who are you, Sean
Grossman? I don't think there could be a douchier beginning to a sentence than, so I was reading Esquire on my Kindle.
Actually, just the other night,
Sean Grossman.
I was laying on my couch with my Kindle on my belly while Chelsea Blandington's voice read me American Hardcore while I drank a beer.
Wow, so you don't...
I don't even read it.
You don't even read it. You get the...
Chuck Blandington reads me my books. It's literally on my gut while I lay on the couch and I drink a beer.
Shame on you,
sir. You're obnoxious.
Why?
Sean Grossman, that is a phenomenal story.
I want to burn through books, but I don't want to use my hands.
I want to hear books. So I listened to this book the other day. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't want to have to like download them all, get CDs or something. It's all right there. It holds 35,000 of them, and I can just.
We're not laughing at the fact that you have a Kindle. We're laughing at the laughing at the fact that you have the audio feature on.
I got a mega deal because I'm like an Amazon super shopper.
God, you're like the humble brag torch has been passed, sir.
But don't you like books?
I'd love books. Yeah,
like holding a book.
No, I burned through books like no. This Kindle, I just got it like literally last week, and I have one book on it, the second edition of American Hardcore, and that's it. Like, I'd rather burn through.
Are you going to use it?
Probably not. I actually don't like the user interface of it. Like, you know, just the page turning and holding in my hand, I don't like it.
Every time I see somebody on the train with a Kindle, I want to smack it out of their hands.
It's just
so
it's
fucking
just
bad.
You wouldn't dare.
No, I could. It's not like I'm poor. I could buy a Kindle if I wanted to. I have no interest in an e-reader.
Yeah.
I like having actual books.
Well, that's your opinion. Some people like having 50 books at their disposal, or
fuck
just the ability to download a book immediately.
Fuck them.
Supposed to wait for it.
I've more gotten to the point where I'm sick of moving.
Stop you whore.
I'm sick of moving with
Sean,
books.
Sean, he was talking to you.
Yeah, I know. I know. No, it's like literally I put fucking 10 books in a box, and like the movers fucking are sweating down the stairs. Like everywhere I go, I've moved to a different apartment every year. I can't stand having. I literally have like 80, you know, 100 books on my shelf in my place, and I need to get rid of this shit.
Why don't you put them in storage?
Or do a swap tree. Swap tree books for
other
books.
These are all like coffee table nonfiction.
Well, like strand and trade them in.
Scan in the photo.
Well, I do the swap tree, and I end up swapping them for more books and more DVDs, and
just
take
the
same amount.
Yeah, that's why I just go to Strand and trade them in for cash or something.
So I understand.
They do that. They do.
They sell used books, I assume. They pay for
them. How much do you think your Anne Rice books are worth?
Well, they're up there with Dean Kuntz. And
I don't think it's pronounced that way, Sean.
Dean Kuntz.
And
and my Danielle Steele collection.
The complete. What's like a book discography?
Chicken Soup for the Hardcore Soul.
No, no, no. What's like the book version of a discography?
Bibliography?
A bookography?
No, it's a series.
A series?
Yeah.
Nancy Drew.
Catalog.
Like the Boxcar Children.
I don't know what that is.
Are you kidding me? Does anyone know what the Boxcar Children are?
I'm still.
No, yeah. It came out the same time.
Is that Little Rascals? Like they're a
no,
bunch of young
hobos? No, it's like two boys and a little girl, and their parents like died or some shit. And instead of going to a foster home, they run off and they live in a box car in the woods, and
so
then they solve
mysteries. Fuck each other and jerk each other off.
Yeah, it's kind of like Flowers in the Attic.
Children's
Yeah, no, it's like a Nancy Drew for the runaway
homeless kids. Weird. It's like Where the Day Takes You. Is that that movie about the homeless kids in L.A.? Is that
yeah,
what I'm thinking
know,
of? Will Smith.
What? Not.
I never saw it, but I remember.
Men in Black?
You would.
Yes.
But I'm probably going to listen to my Kindle tonight.
See, what you, if you were serious about it, when you'd go on the train and without headphones, just have the Kindle. It's like, fuck
wow.
Everybody. Like a couple weeks ago, I was on the train and some kid, he was probably in his 20s, early 30s, was playing like a video game on his phone with the sound on, like really obnoxiously loud. And somebody turned to him and was like, could you turn that down? He's like, no, I can't. What the fuck? Yes, you clearly can. Stop being an asshole.
I look up to this person, though. They just don't give a fuck.
It was annoying.
But, I don't know.
Like, clearly he was playing it at that volume
just
for the hopes of starting shit.
Sure. It's like when you're on like an Amtrak train or a Greyhound bus and someone is like playing their rap music where everyone on the train can listen to
it. Why
does it got to
be rap music?
It's the only thing I've ever heard loud.
What? You clearly don't use public transportation very often.
I don't.
There was a dude that was on the train that was listening to like Headstrong by Trap.
Oh, wow.
And like so into it, like his life depended on it. Like,
was this the ghost of Rob a Pass?
Rock it out. No, I hated that song.
Give
me
a break.
Do you like the album cuts? Do you like the deeper cuts
the
from
deeper,
that album?
I like,
he was more of a Papa Roach than a Trapped fan.
Exactly. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, no
Sean knows me.
Infest was a great album.
Is that what it's called?
The first Papa Roach album was called Infest,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Sid liked it.
What
at
was
the time
thing?
I did.
What was
at the time.
Cut my slice of pizza.
That was it.
No, there's more to it. No.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
It was great. Anyway.
I forgot.
When are we going to get that guy on the show? Kobe Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Jacoby, whatever his name is now.
Can we bring in
Kobe
just like a
Shattuck.
Bunch of shitty like new metal people that really want to probably talk to us?
Really, the truth is that Kobe Dick is just Andrew W.K.
Yeah.
with a haircut.
We need to get the singer of Alien Ant Farm in here.
Yeah, with that when he had that shitty
reverse
part shave,
the reverse mohawk.
Yeah.
Didn't they get into like some big van accident?
Say kerfuffle?
Is that what you're gonna say? I was gonna say car accident, but I was like, no, it's probably a van.
Kerfuffle. I don't know.
All right, turn this off.
They were awesome.
Painful.
Hey, play us some Alien Ant Farm.
Please don't. They're the worst. Please don't. Anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah, Alien Ant Farm, everyone.
Never trust a band that gets popular by doing a cover song.
Of Michael Jackson.
Just like Limp Bizkit with Faith.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Such a backdoor way of getting popular.
Totally forgot about this band.
Awful.
Yeah, where's that back?
What is the date on it? What is the year? When did this come out?
2001?
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's crazy. It's 10 years ago. This
sophomore in college.
Awesome.
All right, we can. Trying to find that song that American dude made about Osama.
That American dude?
That really patriotic.
That's
Toby Keith.
Toby Keith.
No.
It's the American
John
way,
Rich. Yeah.
John Rich.
Taylor Swift.
Wait, I got an email about it. Hold on. Give me a second. Keep talking, you guys. Keep talking.
How can we talk if you're not involved in the conversation?
Oh.
I don't understand.
She's saying that
your
you monopolized
first mic.
The
Come on.
Conversation.
Yeah. I monopolized the conversation?
No,
well,
I said it's impossible.
Anyway, so as I was saying, I have found...
He's a type A personality. That's good.
Here we go.
A for AIDS.
It's always for AIDS.
Right.
Oh, maybe that's the name of the new trivia album.
AIDS. AIDS for AIDS.
Turn it up.
Rob, stop shaking your hips and snapping your fingers.
Too into it.
We're going to beat you the American way. By
no,
making
like
it and putting it on the news.
Well, I am a man.
What?
Oh, Jesus. Okay, can we have that enough?
Wait till the chorus.
We have to wait for the chorus?
Yep. There it goes.
And you like this?
Hey, no, it's ridiculous.
This was written in 1983, right?
Oh.
According to Rob's Last FM, he's actually listened to this 63 times this week.
Faint out of the picture.
Oh, no, I think he wrote this after September 11th, but he's bringing it back.
Right.
They're reissuing this guy.
Because they just got him.
Because they got him.
Apparently. I'm a denier.
A denier of what?
Show me the body.
My mom was saying that. Okay, let me bring this up before the show ends. So took out my mom and my dad and my fiance to a nice Mother's Day dinner at a fancy French restaurant.
That's cute.
And before the food is even served, my mom always has to stir up the political shit. And she watches Fox News, so obviously we know the slant there. So she's like, what do you think of this whole Osama bin Laden thing? And I'm like, what do you mean, what do I think? He's dead, great. And she's like, so you think he's dead? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? She's like, we didn't see the body. I want to see the body. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? And in the back of my mind, I'm like, this is Mother's Day.
Yeah.
But I cannot humor her. It's too stupid. I can't.
Right.
So I'm like, who the fuck are you that you need to see the body? You think Congress is like, stop. Sid's mom is not convinced. We can't show anyone. Let's show her the picture. It's like the right people have seen. I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Put that shit out. You know, make an effigy.
Why?
Because Sean wants to jerk off on it.
Sean wants to Photoshop it onto.
Mm-hmm.
onto
I think
body.
It'll come out when nobody gives a shit anymore. So the faster we get there, we can all move on.
Right? Isn't the JFK shit going to come out like soon? Like next
what
year?
JFK shit?
Like it was 50 years after it happened, and then all
it's
the information came out.
No, I think some stuff came out, but there was still a lot of stuff redacted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, but that's what I thought. Like after 50 years, the case is all open.
I doubt it.
No. They're never going to. They're never going to.
That's a bummer.
But, wait, so JFK existed in your mind? He was an actual person?
He was an actual person.
But you never,
but
you were, how do you know?
I don't think he got shot.
You don't,
he started as a Peter Pan, right?
He's just a great actor.
That was just After Effects. So
and, and the blood ketchup.
Exactly.
Ketchup everywhere.
I've seen Night of the Living Dead. That was the same thing. But speaking of, no, this has nothing to do with it. Vanessa just texted me and said she's sitting next to Cuba Gooding Jr. in an Italian restaurant right now.
Gross.
Yeah.
Tell her to throw a meatball at his face.
Tell her to shoot him in the eye.
I thought you were going to say, show me the money.
Just tell her to walk
you
up to me like,
you know who's hitting on her right now, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But does she know where Carrie King is?
Oh,
so where is Carrie King right
Orange
now?
Orange Julius. Yeah, why haven't we got an update recently?
Do we really need one?
Oh, I haven't heard from Lucas.
Carrie King is with a snake.
That's true.
Snakes.
All right.
She should walk up to Cuba Gooding Jr. and be like, oh my God, you're the guy from Radio, right? You're the guy from Gone Fishing, right?
Okay, so,
is that a movie he was
no,
in?
No, he was, what is he in? Like,
Snow
like,
Dog.
No, Boat Trip or something?
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
What was it? We're working on Boat Trip.
Yeah.
You were robbed for the Oscar
should,
that year, man.
She should be like, so you don't understand. That is my favorite movie.
How was it working with Greg Kinnear?
Okay. Oh, wait, good. So, Snow Dogs.
Wait, wasn't Boat Trip the movie
Boat
with Horatio Sands where they were like.
They pretend to be gay or something
probably.
Like that?
Wasn't he on House Guest?
What?
House Guest with Phil Hartman?
No, that was Sinbad.
Yeah, that was Sinbad.
Oh.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Racist.
And when it's a movie, they're in the movie, not on the movie.
What did I say?
Oh, yeah,
I was thinking
of TV
show. Was he on Houseguest? No, was he in Houseguest? This has been your weekly live
act. Or to be like, oh, my God, aren't you Omar Gooding's brother?
Omar Gooding Jr.
You know who that is.
Yeah,
but you know
who? Wild and Crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
And Donnie Jeffcoat.
Oh, my God.
I'm a cesspool.
Why is that not on DVD, huh? Nickelodeon, wake the fuck up.
You can catch it on Gas. Nickelodeon Games and Sports.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I might have to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I work
Wild
for Viacom.
Kids,
I work for Viacom.
My
hey,
family
dude.
Was too poor to afford Nickelodeon at the age demographic that they were targeting.
Yeah.
I got it too late in life.
Me too.
Clarissa explains it all. Salute your shorts, perhaps?
Oh, I know, Clarissa.
Hey, dude.
Yeah.
I just explained to
you.
Welcome,
freshman.
Nickelodeon means
The Adventures
nothing
of Pete and Pete.
That, oh, nope. I have those on DVD.
Classic. So do I.
Nope. Yeah.
Rugrats.
I'm really going to relate to The Adventures of
Pete. No, that seriously, you would like that show.
I thought it was
a really good, funny show.
Yeah.
There was cameos by like Henry Rollins and Iggy Pop and Michael Stipe and
I'm telling you, you'd be into that show if you gave it a chance.
Look, I'm taking the opposite viewpoint of you guys.
You told
right
me
now.
To get into Community,
so
and I did on your word.
Let me just play
take
this
my
role.
Word now.
Oh, that
and get into Pete and Pete.
Oh, that girl, fucking Alison Brie on that show.
Woo! God bless.
All right, I think that's a good point to continue the show. Now let's wrap things up. We'll be back next week with another all new episode.
Do we have to?
Oh, you don't have to if you don't want to.
You can skip it.
If I skip it, are you guys going to be able to?
Yeah, sure. We'll do it exactly the way.
I would love that, actually.
Yeah,
shorter trip for me.
What are you going to do next week that you're going to skip it?
Masturbate.
Yeah. I'll just be in the other room masturbating.
Just finger blasting while she's taking a dump with her feet up on the walls, like she's in a go-kart.
Finger blasters.
Yeah. The rectal rooter.
Ooh, I don't know what that is, but it's awesome.
You don't know what a rooter is?
Yeah, like a rotor rooter? Like a garden weasel?
Well, just imagine it in a rectum.
Rectum.
He has.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Is it like a crank on it, like a fucking egg beater?
I think I would say it's electronic.
No.
Wrap it up.
Oh. All right.
I'm waiting. Oh,
man. We're waiting for you guys to finish your...
Oh, sorry.
Your little sidebar.
Our butt garden weasels.
Your butt bar.
I was wondering when the show is going to get to ass pimples and mayonnaise.
Right now.
Let's talk
run with
about it.
It.
Let's
That's
talk
your
about
comedy
it.
Team with Rob, right?
Isn't that what they called you guys in high school?
I'm not going to say for sure.
I'm mayonnaise, so.
I was a total ass pimple in high school. Total ass pimple. There should be a shorter name for that. Ass pimple.
AP.
Yeah, like you have swass and stuff. There should be a...
Swass?
Lonnie calls
Sweaty
them grimples.
Ass sweat.
Lonnie calls them grimples.
What's a, why grimples?
I don't know. I just remember he used to talk about how he would have grimples and they would hurt. And it was the pimples on his ass.
We'll be sure to ask him about that when he comes on the show.
Oh, I'm sure he'd love to talk about
it. Maybe
grimples.
They're on his grundle.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. You scratch them right off, take a... lit cigarette and burn them off.
I don't like people that don't call it the taint. They call it grundle or dotus.
No, it's the taint.
It's a taint.
The gooch.
The gooch. No. That's another one. Yeah.
I like the gooch.
The gooch was on Different Strokes. Leave it alone.
Yeah. Johnny Knoxville said the gooch.
Well then.
Mm-hmm.
Just really like the gooch.
I'm sure you do.
It sounds like the nickname of like a Fonz character on a 70s.
Yeah, fucking...
The gooch.
We'll call you the
Or like somebody
now.
In the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, can we all have nicknames? I'm tired of having our real names.
What's your nickname?
I don't know.
Do you want to be the Gooch?
I don't really.
We're here with I don't know. And the Gooch. I'll be the Gooch. We're here with I don't know and the Gooch.
I want to be the Bear.
Gooch and
no,
the Rob
bear. The Bear. That's settled.
Keep that.
Yeah. You're the twink if
keep
you're anything.
I don't know about that. I got a beard.
He's
I can't
the ginger.
You're trying to.
I'm like an otter.
I'm here with otter. It's the ginger and the bear.
An otter is actually a skinny, younger bear.
It's the ginger and the bear. Live at night. Only on metal injection. Ginger and bear.
The noise of the ginger or the bear?
Oh, I'm a ginger. Oh, I have red hair everywhere. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah, rampant. Please.
All right. I feel like we should play a song, but I can't think of one. What's like a parody? We
Smell your dick.
Exit with.
A parody?
Yeah, a
paradigm. Do,
nothing.
Since it was Mother's Day, do Robert.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do that. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Like I said, we'll be back next week. But one of us will be dead. Who will it be? You'll have to tune in.
Sean.
to take it to my doctor friend. I want to show him your blood wound. Oh, Robert! Mama wants to fix your life. And if you let me buy pants for you, I can make you look so nice. Hello, baby! Mama wants to fix your life. And I can help you find Russian Euro, who will do your laundry. What?
A little bit more.